Okay, I'm here with Andy Montero, and we are where, sir?
We are at the American Pigeon Museum and Library in Oklahoma City.
Yes, and it is grand opening day here. And standing in front of us are, what do we see here? How many pigeons do we have, and what do you have on display?
We have 11 pigeons currently on display. They're all different pigeons, and they represent some of the 300 varieties of pigeons that exist today. There are racing pigeons, and then there are fancy pigeons. Fancy pigeons are kind of like show dogs. They are bred to have certain traits, and they actually compete in shows and competitions for the best qualities and traits among their breed.
Tell me about this guy here. Now, this is a recording, but we have a gray pigeon who appears to have curly feathers and very fancy feet.
That is called a frillback. Frill is the curly feathers. And this bird looks like it has a bad perm. It started out as a body perm, but it just went overboard.
Right.
But you would not think of it as a pigeon, but it is. They are all genetically, the genus and the species is the same. They're all part of the Columbine, pigeon.
Now tell me, you know, normally we think of pigeons, a lot of people think, flying rat. You know?
I've heard that.
That's probably offensive to someone like you who really knows his pigeons.
Well,
what's the pigeon that gets the bad rep? Why does it have a bad rep?
The reason it gets a bad rep is because they're so prolific in a lot of the cities. But really, they're prolific because they can adapt to their environment very well, and so that they can grow quite well in the urban environment. However, they clearly are not a rat. They are very intelligent animals, and they have lived in association with humans for thousands of years. And that is one thing we hope to show in our museum. We show you how the pigeons and man have interacted since prehistoric times.
Now tell me a couple things that would surprise me. Something surprising about pigeons. Just some interesting facts or, you know, basics.
A few interesting things about pigeons are, first, there's a lot that we can learn from pigeons. Pigeons mate for life. Both the male and female pigeon sit on the nest.
Wait, you mean the pigeon divorce rate is zero?
It's not zero, but it's close.
Okay.
More like humans. if a pigeon loses its mate, they'll mate up with another pigeon.
I gotcha. Okay.
But other than that, they'll tend to stay together for life.
Okay.
They do a lot of, there's a lot of mating rituals, and there's a big courtship process among pigeons, as opposed to other animals, that it's not quite the same, and we'll leave it there. But they mate for life. They both sit on the nest, so they're committed to raising the young. Both the male and the female pigeon produce milk, and they both provide milk to the infant for the first couple weeks of life.
So they both have the set of glands.
Yes, they produce the milk in the neck, in the glands in the neck, and then they feed their pigeons.
Very interesting.
We have two interesting pigeons here that actually can't live outside of captivity, and that's an interesting fact. Some pigeons have been bred to have certain traits. This pigeon over here, which is the African owl, as well as the turbit over here.
Which one is the African owl?
African owl, this gray one. And
he resembles almost, not quite. He's got a different little interesting face there. I was going to say, he almost looks like the coloring of, you know, the pigeons that we envision when we think of a downtown.
He does look more like the feral or the wild pigeon.
But he has got this kind of rainbow-colored ring around his neck, too.
He does. It's an iridescent green, which most pigeons will have, if you notice. Mm-hmm. Most pigeons have some iridescence around their neck, not all. The turbit also, in addition to, what's similar between the African owl and the turbit is both of them have been bred to have almost no beak. The turbit, in addition to not having much of a beak, has what's called a frill, or a outcropping or raised feathers on the back of the neck as well as on the front of the neck.
And the turbit, since this is a recording, it's a white pigeon. with a tan...
Tan coloring.
Coloring on his wings.
Yeah. And they can have different colors. An African owl has to do with its facial appearance, but they may look very different. But they all have the same face, the flattened face without the beak.
And why can't they live in the wild?
They can't live in the wild because without a beak, they can't feed their young. So what has to happen is when these birds have babies, when they lay an egg, the people that raise these will take the eggs and put them under foster parents. So they'll put the eggs underneath a regular pigeon that will sit on the eggs until they hatch. And once they hatch, those foster parent pigeons will feed them. But if these pigeons hatch the eggs, the babies would starve.
So these only exist in captivity.
They only exist in captivity. They were created by man, and they can only exist in captivity.
Wow. Well, you just told me a lot that I did not know about pigeons. Any final fact to end the interview that you'd like to highlight, or have we covered the basics?
Well, we've covered the basics, and what I would like to say is pigeons will double their weight each week until they reach full size in about a month. And if you take a pigeon at 2 weeks and you raise them, they no longer need the parents for milk, and you raise them with humans, they will imprint on a human, just like a duck or a geese will. And then they will be attached to that human. We had a pigeon here, Jerry, who unfortunately at age 17, they usually live about 15 years, Jerry was 17 years old before he died, but Jerry loved people. And we would take him to schools, and he would play with the kids and sit on their head and sit on their shoulders. And he just thought he was a person. So these birds are very tame. They're used to living in captivity. They're used to living in close proximity to people. And they're very tame.
And also, I will just wanted to ask, carrier pigeons during World War II, can you tell me what was the role of the pigeon in
World War
II? That conflict, yes.
Well, prior to our modern technological development of communication abilities, the pigeon was used to send messages behind the front lines. And it was very effective. It had a 98% effective rate at sending its messages through the lines.
Wow.
Which was very good.
That's amazing.
There have been pigeons that have received decorations by our military. And there is one pigeon that we have shown inside, and we're hoping to unfortunately, it's no longer alive, but we're hoping to get its body sent here to be shown in our museum that flew through enemy lines with its message, got the message home, it was shot 3 times, it lost a leg, and was shot twice in the body, but it still brought its message home and saved lives.
And it lived through all of that? Or?
It did.
Oh, wow.
Look at those birds.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
What's that pigeon's name? Do you remember? If you don't, I'll look it up.
I believe it's G.I. Joe.
Really?
But my wife will tell you the name.
Okay, I'll look that up.
Okay.
Well, thank you, sir. Again, tell me your name.
Andy Montero.
And your interest in pigeons is a hobby, a career?
No, I am actually, I'm a physician.
Really?
And my wife is the curator here.
Okay.
We knew nothing about pigeons before she started working here 2 years ago. But I have become fascinated, and so I'm a volunteer here at the museum, and I help take care of these pigeons, and we show them every day that the museum is open. On every Friday and Saturday, you can come and see some of the examples of the variety of breeds of pigeon that exist today.
Well, thank you so much again, sir. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank